Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. We're super excited to be speaking to you today because we are bringing in the new year with some Sons of Technology cheer. And we really wanted to make sure that we added on to last week's episode or last episode that we recorded on what we loved about 2020. We want to continue that positive feeling into 2021. And so for this episode, we are going to be discussing the start, stop, and continue of 2021, which means what do we want to start this year? What do we want to start doing? And a lot of people call it like a New Year's resolution. We don't want to call it a New Year's resolution because this is something that you're changing about yourself, about who you are. So what do you want to start this year that you've always wanted to start or you want to do to better yourself? What are you going to stop this year that has been dragging you down and not helping you reach your full potential? And then what do you want to continue? Meaning, what did you start in 2020 that has worked and you want to make sure you continue doing that to create a positive atmosphere in 2021? So start, stop, continue for 2021. But before we give you that, we want to go ahead and introduce our amazing panel that we have here today. Great educators from across the United States. We can say that because each of us is in a different state currently. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself first. My name is Joe Marquez. I'm an educator out of the Central Valley of California, and I am currently the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Kyle Anderson here, coming at you from Las Vegas, Nevada. You can find me on Twitter at Anderson EdTech. Same thing for the Instagram. AndersonEdTech.net is my blog. And then my book, To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. And then we also have with us a returning member of the Clubhouse. Tyler Keefe is coming at us from Idaho. Tyler, how's it going, man?
Hey, good, good. Yeah, like you said, my name is Tyler Keefe. I am located in Nampa, Idaho, right outside of Boise. And find me on Twitter at Keefe67. I am a first-year technology integration coach at my school. And just recently started a podcast with my buddy Jeff, and we're calling that the Teacher Dude. So we're kind of getting out there and having some fun with it.
Dude. Teacher dudes. That's awesome. Teacher I love dudes. It. You know, and before we started the podcast today, you were talking, Tyler, about what you do in Idaho to celebrate the coming of the new year, right? Like in New York, they have the ball drop. And then in Las Vegas, Kyle said that they do some big old fireworks. Can you let everybody know what they do in Idaho?
Yes. And it is as cliche as you think it would be. We have what is called the Great Idaho Potato Drop, where they will take a giant potato and lift it up on a crane out in front of the state capitol house, downtown Boise, and do the countdown, and then they drop it right there in the streets. So now, that's what we do.
How big is this potato? Because, I mean, I like myself a big baked potato, but imagining something you have to carry with a crane, how big can this potato be?
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's a fake big potato, okay. But it is large enough that you do need the crane, and it is carried on the back of a semi-trailer, if I remember right, as part of the their marketing that they do for the Idaho potatoes. So it's kind of funny. I'll have to send you a picture of it.
Well, that's when I think of Idaho, I do think of the potato. So I always wonder, you know, in Tyler, in Idaho, is there something with the name of California on it? Like, I know there's California raisins right back from the 80s, early 90s, but is there something in the supermarket that you see that is pretty solidly, from California?
I'm sure there is. I haven't really looked, to be honest with you, but I'm sure, you know, we get our avocados and stuff. I'm sure we get our grapes down from California because they won't grow up here in the wintertime. But, you know, the citrusy stuff, but nothing really jumps out as like made in California.
You know, I always think of California Pizza Kitchen, right? That's something California. And of course, you know, California raisins again. And yeah, the avocado, whenever you put that on anything, they call it the California roll, mm-hmm. you know, the California BLT, anything with avocado. So you're absolutely right.
Well, then you've also got the California style burger, the In-N-Out yeah. style that's got like basically Thousand Island dressing for the sauce, or the California burrito, which is glorious, which is basically meat and French fries rolled up in a tortilla. So
see, we have that up here. We just call it the Idaho burrito.
Yeah. Because I would imagine if there's potatoes.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. So there's all sorts of California styles of things. And then, you know, where I'm at in Nevada, as long as you put poker chips or dice with it, I guess, you know, that's the Nevada style. So, although I will say, believe it or not, there is actually a lot of agriculture in the state of Nevada. It's a lot of ranching, but there are areas where they grow a lot. And there's actually in Fallon, Nevada, every year they have what's called the Cantaloupe Festival because they grow a lot of cantaloupes there. I've never gone to this Cantaloupe Festival, but I guess like they have all sorts of foods that are made with cantaloupe, including cantaloupe jam, which to me, I've never had it, but it's just, I like cantaloupe, but that just sounds so weird to me. So eventually I got to go to Fallon. It's usually in August and go to this Cantaloupe Festival.
Oh, I don't know. The cantaloupe is one of the things I cannot eat. I can possibly do honeydew, but you know, whenever you go to a restaurant and ask for like a fruit medley, they always pack it with cantaloupe and honeydew. And I can't stand either of them. I'm like, give me some more grapes. Give me some more pineapple, you know, hold off on that cantaloupe. But you know, that, I guess I would say that would be a stop for me. Stop eating cantaloupe. But I really want to talk about, you know, the changes that we have made in 2020, whether it's to our professional careers, or our healthy habits. And I want to talk about, you know, what is something that we now want to continue doing, right? I know we call this start, stop, continue, but I want to start at continue. What is something from 2020 that you started that you want to continue through 2021, whether to better your professional career, better yourself as a human being, or just better yourself to be healthy for the coming years. And so, Kyle, I want to start with you because you've been doing some pretty good work in 2020. A lot of great things have happened to you. What do you want to continue into the new year?
Well, if you go all the way back to March of 2020, right before COVID hit, that's when my book was published, and it came out on March 7th and had a real nice, strong start to sales and whatever. And then COVID hit and, you know, the sales really tailed off. And I, like I've told people before, this has never been about me writing a New York Times bestseller or retiring off any sort of royalties I'm making for the book or anything, but it has been a little frustrating that the sales have been slow and whatnot. But again, even if only one person bought it and got something from it, I've done my job at the book. So I did get away from writing a little bit throughout COVID just because of the sheer amount of time spent on the computer. I have gotten back to the blog a little bit more. One thing that I'm not going to just put it out there and say that I'm going to do it in 2021, but the wheels have been turning to a follow-up to the Edge Success and Failures to Risk Taking. And I'm not going to get into too many details because again, it is just at this point, it is the primordial soup of life for the book. So I don't want to get into it in too deep a detail. But the other big thing that I started to do about mid-November was when I finally started to say to myself, enough of the excuses. You got to start getting back out there and getting working out again. If anything, just to get outside and get away from the computer. So mid-November, I started doing some walks, and I did a few, missed a day here and there or whatever. And then on November 19th, I did not get out and get a walk in that day. But every day since then, again, this is New Year's Eve that we were recording this, 42 days in a row, I have gotten outside and gotten in a walk, with the exception of one day when I got in a 10-mile bike ride instead. Every other day has been a walk, mostly 3 to 5 miles. There has been some days of hiking instead where maybe I didn't necessarily get 3 miles in, but 2 miles scrambling over rocks out in the middle of Red Rock Canyon or Valley of Fire State Park, it was a place I went to recently. Those go just as far, if not as far, as like those 3 to 4 mile walks. So hoping to continue that into the new year. And then on January 18th, my Christmas gift is going to be delivered, and that is a Peloton bike. So my wife and I bought one of those for ourselves, and we're looking for that to be delivered and then getting into the groove of working out on that a little bit. And then we're going to be looking for people's Peloton usernames so we can ride together once that happens. So a little selfish on my part, the things that I want to start doing, continue to do, but at the same time, a healthy teacher is a more effective teacher though too.
And Kyle, what was the hardest thing about starting that in 2020, about starting the healthy journey? Because I know that we were talking about this way back in like March, April, May. And I know your mindset wasn't there yet. What finally switched where you're like, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to end 2020 with a bang by getting healthier.
All joking aside, the weather back in March and April, I was doing pretty well with getting out, taking some walks, not necessarily super long ones. It was more of like 10 minutes around the block here and there throughout the day versus going out for an hour, hour and a half at a time. And then getting out on my bike and riding around as well. That was going really well until about the beginning of May. And then I made the move from Northern Nevada back to Southern Nevada. And it was like, as soon as I got back to Southern Nevada, it was like 90 plus every day. And then very shortly after that, it broke into the hundreds. And you know, in some places you get the 100 degree days, at least it's still getting down to the 60s at night. So when you get up early in the morning or wait till later at night, you can still go out and the weather's not as bad. But in Las Vegas, if the high is 107 during the day, your overnight low might be 93. It's still going to be super hot. And that really takes away motivation when you're that hot. And like you get 100 feet outside your door and you're already pouring sweat. So that's not the most motivating things ever. But once fall rolled around and the weather started to cool off, it made it a lot easier to do that. And now I'm at the point where I'm in such a routine of doing it. I have in the last couple of weeks been getting up early to do it. It's been more of like a late morning, early afternoon kind of walk because have been sleeping in till about 7 and then the kids are home with me and it's a little bit tougher when I'm home with them, with my wife working to get out and do it. But I found some ways like taking them to the park and I walk laps around the park while they're out playing and whatnot. So, but now it's become a part of my routine to where now on the days where I am super lazy all day, it gets to the point where dinner time, I'm like, you know what? I haven't done my walk. No wonder I don't feel right. So then I get out and do one. And I found that on those days, I tend to go further even. So had a day where I watched football and basketball all day and then all of a sudden didn't do my walk. I walked almost 6 miles that day. And then yesterday, from the time we're recording this, I had to take something back to Kohl's, a return. So I'm like, well, I could drive over there, drop it off and get it done, or I could just walk there. It was 2 miles there. And then I walked another 3.5 on the way back, just kind of circled my way back rather than just coming directly home. So that was like 5.5 miles on that walk. So, but yeah, it's just once you set up that routine, then it becomes a part of you. And then it makes it harder to make the excuse to not get out and do it. And then on top of that, there's in my Google Fit app, it has your goals for the day, like how many steps you're going to get. And then Google Fit does this thing called heart points, where you get these points for doing more intense workouts and whatnot. And the more intense, the more points you get. Yeah, I have these two goals for my steps and my heart points for every day. And it's kind of nice to see those things hit every day, especially for the last 42 days. I can look at the calendars and see that I've hit those goals every one of those days. And it's like, do I really want to break that streak now? You know, and then I start talking to people like Josh Buckley from the Punk Rock Classrooms podcast. He ran 100 days in a row. Didn't necessarily mean he went out and did like 8 miles every day, but he ran for 100 days in a row. And it's like, you know, 100 days in a row sounds really good. And then I hear about other people like Sarah Holm, friend of the Beer EDU podcast, lives in Northern Nevada. She's on a streak of like running almost 500 days in a row. And it's like, wow, I need to get to that. So maybe not running, but I need to get to that point where I've been doing something for that many days in a row, just because it sounds like something really awesome to be able to tell people.
No, that's, I mean, I thought I was doing good. Today I just looked, I said, how many days since March 18th? Because that's when I started doing my journey, and it's been 286 days. So to hit 500 days, that's amazing. And so, I mean, that's a goal for me now. Because in 2 weeks, I'll hit that amazing 300 number and I'll be extremely excited about it. But the hardest part was convincing myself that I had time, right? I've always wanted to start, getting back into shape. But in your mind, you always have this thought of, I don't have time to do that. Or I'm not a morning person. I'm going to do it at night. And then the day happens and then you don't do it at night because the day was hard. And so finding that routine, Kyle, is extremely, extremely important. And you have to stick to that routine. And that's one of the reasons that I've done 286 days straight. Even with all of the noise coming at me saying that's not healthy, you should take a day off. It's in my mind, I know there's going to be a day where that streak ends. But when I have the ability to keep it going and I have the time and my job allows me to do this, I'm going to keep doing it because I know there's going to be a day where I have to travel and I'm going to have to get up early to make a plane flight. And I'm going to be working all day and I'm going to be getting back to the hotel at like 8 at night. And I'm not going to want to go and do 2 hours of running. So I'm going to keep going now as much as possible until the day or the circumstances force me to end. I'm not going to do it on my own. And I think the gamification, Kyle, is key, right? If I didn't have my smartwatch to tell me every day, hey, only this much more in order to hit your goal, only this much more, I don't know if I would do it, right? And so this little assistant on my wrist has really pushed me, which gets me into the future of education, right? How do you go? I mean, how am I going to, segue from health to education? Having something push you or remind you constantly in a friendly manner is a really good motivator to better yourself. And so imagine if we had a smartwatch that knew a student's routine or knew a student's habits and knew what was coming up and knew what they were doing. Like, hey, you have a project due in 2 days. And I noticed you haven't started it yet. Let's get started. If you had a little kind of friendly push, I think that could be amazing. So if anybody's listening, if you can do a smart assistant or a student helper, I think that can really help with students, getting them motivated to get things done, besides the amazing teacher that you are in the classroom. But I just wanted to make sure everybody knew how proud I was of you, Kyle, for getting started, because that's the hardest thing. It takes about 6 weeks to create a routine that you don't want to deviate from. And the unfortunate thing is it takes only like 2 weeks to get away from that. So staying started and keeping moving and getting going is really, 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 really difficult. Especially if you don't, and I tell people never to step on a scale the first 6 weeks, because if you don't see a scale move, you start getting disheartened. But it's not about that. It's about getting out, getting moving, feeling better about yourself. And then like two and a half months later, you step on that scale and you'll see amazing progress. And that's what I want to continue to do as well, is I want to continue to better myself, make better choices, get out when I can. And so I do. I wake up at 5 every morning, 5:30 every morning, so I can be out the door so that I can get everything done before the day has begun. And to do that, I had to stop staying up so late. And sometimes in order to start something that is beneficial for you, you have to stop doing things that may be enjoyable, but takes away from the opportunity. And so I would always stay up to like midnight watching, Netflix or shows or this or that, just watching it. Cause I couldn't sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. And, by forcing myself up in the morning at 5 a.m, guess what happened at night? I was tired. So by changing that rhythm, I was able to become a morning person. So that was one of the most difficult things I had to do, was stop staying up so late so I can start waking up earlier and getting out. You can't even imagine how this has saved my life. This year is going to be the year that I turn 40. 2021 is the year Joe Marquez turns 40 years old. And I am in better shape now than I was when I turned 30. And that just makes me feel so glorious that I want other people to feel that exact same way. And so I'm hoping that, you know, some of the stuff that I have done has allowed people to be inspired and allowed people to feel that they could do it. Because I always thought to myself, there's no way I'm going to get back in shape like I was when I was 20. There's no way I'm gonna get back in shape like I was when I was like 22 or 23. And I'm getting back there. And I think that is an enormous benefit to my family and myself, but hopefully that benefited other people into getting started also. I'm just flabbergasted that from the beginning of 2020 to the beginning of 2021, that this change has occurred, and I'm just extremely excited about that. So I want to continue to go down that path. Tyler, what about you? What is something that you started doing in 2020 that you want to continue into 2021?
Well, you know, I could go the health-based stuff, and, you know, you guys have really covered that. So I'm going to kind of shift gears, you know, not saying I don't want to do, you know, what you guys are doing, because it's fantastic. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, hearing you on Kyle's other podcast, Beer EDU, is how you and I got connected. When you were talking about your journey and where you were going and what you're doing. And then I just sent you a quick tweet like, hey, dude, what are you doing? And, you know, the rest is kind of history, you know, as far as that goes. And, you know, I definitely want to keep going on that front, you know, making small gains here and there. On the personal side, my son, he's, you know, type 1 diabetic and celiac. So, you know, we've been eating a lot better, you know, than we could, because literally there are a lot of things at a fast food place he can't have. And we don't really think it's fair for us to, you know, oh, look, we're going to go to McDonald's, but you get to go home and have a salad, you know, that kind of stuff. So we're going down that road. But one thing I want to continue into 2021, which I will be this school year for sure, is maintaining my technology integration coach position. But I want to continue that into the fall, you know, just with because of COVID and everything and budgets and how they go. We knew that it was going to be kind of a difficult thing, to do and hold on to, but I want to continue this because I feel that even though I had fun in the classroom, I had, great success in the classroom for those 13 years, for me being able to make the difference with the staff and, really my school district as a whole in a different level is something that I want to continue, just because I know that when I hear of, you know, teachers at other schools starting to emulate what we're doing at mine, that, you know, our reach and our impact is hitting so many more students than it had before. So that's definitely something that I want to continue with. And, you know, the other thing is just continue getting more and more connected with some awesome people, you know, being a part of the Sons of Tech now. It's an awesome group of people, and it's something that I know if I send a tweet, you know, asking for, you know, help with something within the group, that somebody will have an answer or resource. And that's good to have, because I don't feel like I'm helpless when I'm trying to solve a problem that I should be able to. So those are kind of two things right there that I'm going to hopefully, you know, continue on into 2021.
You know, and those are fantastic goals. And you know, we talk pretty much every morning, and, you know, hearing all the things that you have done at your school site and moving forward, because you are a STEM school, and just getting teachers motivated and kind of changing the way they do things a little bit so that they really encompass the idea of STEM for project-based learning in the classroom. I think the things that you're doing are not only making you into a better tech coach, but you're really having a really great effect on your community of learners and your community of fellow teachers with all that. And so, you know, I love the fact that you're going to continue to do that and make a bigger impact in your community and beyond. So I really, you know, I admire you for that. So that's extremely, you know, fortuitous that you said that, because, you know, that goes right into our next segment of what we want to start doing, right? How do we want to start something different? It doesn't have to be something completely new, but what do you want to start doing that's going to make a greater impact in your school or around your campus or around, you know, your social media sphere? Like I know on my end, I want to start just making more positive videos on the Sons of Tech YouTube channel. I felt like I was on a good start at the beginning of the year. And then, you know, of course COVID hit and, it just seemed like my time just went away from being able to make videos. Cause I was just on Zooms all the time, helping people constantly. And when you're constantly on Zooms, you don't want to be sitting in front of your computer making something for another hour or so. And so I think it kind of tailed away. So I want to start making more positive videos. And I want to start doing food videos as well. You know, in the Sons of Tech channel, we always post our food and every this and all that. And Tyler, you're the one that said to me, like, hey, why don't you make videos on how you make that stuff? All this stuff looks great. Why don't you make videos? And I ask myself, would anybody watch, would anybody see the Sons of Tech channel differently if I start doing food videos? Or would I have to make another channel for food videos? I don't know. That's the question. But I love cooking. And I've also found a love for baking with my girls. And I would love to, you know, maybe have my daughters make a step-by-step video on how they bake cookies. You know, a four-year-old girl making cookies. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. So I want to start some more things like that to get everything that's in here out there a little bit more. Because I think I've been lackadaisical about it in putting more things out, more things forward for our community. So that's what I want to start doing. I want to start doing more for the community out there and start making more videos in that fashion.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to jump in because, hearing about all the food ventures that you've made and your famous bulgogi, which I'm still haven't been able to find any at Costco, but I know your homemade stuff is probably leaps and bounds better. And then, you know, when you were talking about the tamales this morning and then, you know, just here again talking about it, it's like, man, if I knew how to make tamales, like I'm sure it's really not that difficult. But if I just knew and was able to follow along from somebody that I know, I might be more apt to actually try than wait for, you know, the once a month order that I can make at my school. So I think there's an audience out there for sure, you know, to do stuff like that. And then, you know, you talk about your girls making, you know, cookies. With my son Zane, we've done videos with him and with his diabetes stuff where he's, you know, changing his sensor patch. And that video has over 2,500 views now. And it's like, it's just him pulling one off and putting a new one on. But, you know, it's interesting because there's people out there that, you know, they're looking for stuff to see. So I definitely think you should make either add it to the Sons of Tech as like a second playlist or make a Joe's Kitchen or something like that YouTube.
You know, I might start doing that, especially since a lot of the things that I use are gadgets, right? You know, we have the Traeger smoker and the Instant Pot and the stand mixer. So I guess what I can tie it into that. You know, our good friend John Carippo calls it EDU meat. So maybe we can, you know, brand it in some way like that, you know, you keeping his hashtag alive in that fashion. I just love doing it. It clears my mind. The end product is always tasty, at least for the most part. So I think that's a cool thing. Kyle, what about you? What do you want to start doing coming into this new year?
Well, kind of similar to what you want to do with our Sons of Technology channel and whatnot. I want to do something very similar with my other podcast, Beer EDU. Ben and I have been talking for a long time about trying to build ourselves up a little bit more with our YouTube channel. And we just haven't really done anything with it yet. We'll live stream our broadcast every now and then, kind of like what we're doing here. Those will end up on the channel. And then I actually always post the episodes on the YouTube channel a day earlier than what the podcast actually comes out on. So if anybody's on YouTube, they can actually listen to it ahead of time, because all it is literally just the audio and then the promotional card that I make for every episode as the video, quote unquote, part of it. So, but we don't really get a lot of people on the channel as a result of that, because it's a lot easier to listen to a podcast on the go versus sitting at YouTube or something like that. So we've been talking about doing some different things with the YouTube channel for a while now. And while as of right now, we still haven't gotten around to it, the one thing that we want to do is every now and then, and this is kind of born out of the fall queue idea where I did the beer tasting instructional video for fall queue, is we want to do videos of ourselves doing a beer tasting where these are like 5 to 10 minute videos where we select a beer and we basically do a tasting and then post it to the Beer EDU channel. So it doesn't have to be the ones that we're featuring on the episodes, just something that on a Tuesday night, if we want to fire out a video real quick, it's something that we can do with that. So, but even those 5 to 10 minute videos, they still take some work, and that's why we haven't gotten around to it yet. So, but the other thing that we're going to start doing is our most recent episode, we had the boys from the Punk Rock Classrooms podcast come on to do kind of a reflection of 2020. And something that was born out of that episode actually was we talked about how much fun we were having just getting on and chatting with each other and reflecting and talking about three things we love: punk rock, beer, and education together. We decided we wanted to do that more often. But instead of focusing on the education piece, one thing that 2020 has taught us is that we just need to step away from our jobs a little bit more often and just relax. And something that, again, we're very passionate about is music and beer. And the four of us are going to get together every now and then, and we're going to have a little YouTube series where we get in, check in with each other, see how we're doing, and have some beers together and talk about the albums that we're listening to at the time. So it's something they always do on their episodes, like, what are you listening to at the end, where they say, man, this week I've been listening to nothing but Bad Religion, or, you know, I really dove into some, you know, progressive rock from the late 90s this week or something like that. And it's just something that we're hoping that to get together and have a beer and kind of do the two things that our podcast do, just combine them into a YouTube video once a month or something like that. So something where that we're looking forward to starting here in 2021.
Yeah, you got to fill your bucket, you know, in some ways. And you know, how awesome, you know, would it be, like, I mean, there's no time for another podcast in the Marquez household, but how awesome would it be if there was, you know, a series where it's, you talk about what teachers just do, what their passions are outside the classroom, right? Like, teacher passions has nothing to do with education. Like, what do? You quilt, you're a beer connoisseur or sommelier. I there's a name for it. You, Kyle, you looked it up that one time. You know, like Cicerone, right? The things that teachers do that makes a teacher whole, right? Outside the classroom. I think that would be a great study in just educators in general. Maybe a book, right? Outside the classroom, what do you do? Like, I know David Platt is a great carpenter. He loves to build things, right? And models and sheds and things like that. You know, there's a lot of great, you know, educators who cook or bake or create things. So I think that would be a cool thing if we started something like that. So I'm going to let that, you know, bubble and brew a little bit on my end. Tyler, I know that you got a really neat gift for Christmas that you're going to start learning how to do some distillery, right?
Yes, but officially I'm making lawnmower flute fuel. So when we're talking about it, it's all about my Honda lawnmower.
That's what I meant. You have a distillery for gasoline. That's what I was.
Yes. Yeah, no, that is something I want to start doing. It's just been, it kind of goes along with the whole cooking side. I mean, it's really, really is, but just distilling my own liquid and stuff. So I'm looking into the legalities of it, because each state is actually, they have different rules and stuff. I know in, I want to say like New York State, you can't do it at all, but in it might have been Michigan, and I know, Kyle, you're from Michigan, but you can actually distill up to like 100 gallons a year of moonshine, I guess you could say. So I got to look up and see what Idaho specifically is. And so I've been looking up a bunch of different recipes and how to make the mash and, you know, how long stuff has to ferment and, you know, stuff like that. Cause I just think it'd be fun. It'd be a fun thing to make. You know, I've always been a maker of, you know, of different things. And you know, that just seemed to be the next step. The other thing that we've been working on here is, or I guess the start of things is, I wanted to start a podcast of my own. I mentioned that at the beginning of, you know, the teacher dudes and Joe, as you were talking about, just, you know, the educators that just kind of, you know, what fulfills them, makes them whole. That's kind of like what we are kind of looking at doing, is just kind of, you know, the teacher dudes just talking, and like we do normally. So my buddy Jeff and I, you know, we'll talk frequently, and, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, this would actually be kind of fun to just make a podcast. Let's just go. And where it doesn't necessarily have to be education related. It could be, you know, about anything. I know Jeff's a big pool guy, and he's actually listening right now as he's shooting some pool. But, you know, that's one thing that his passion is. And I don't know enough about pool, and I'm planning to have him try to explain it to me. And, you know, vice versa, I'm a big video game guy. So when I'm playing, he's trying to get into it with some of the games with his daughter, and he'll call me up and like, dude, what games you playing? And, you know, I was able to, you know, give him some pointers. He just got a Switch for his daughter over Christmas. So, you know, that's going to be a fun thing. We're going to get some Mario Kart going and, you know, stuff like that, and maybe some Smash Bros. But, you know, those are the kind of things that we want to do with that as well, is not make it a, okay, today we're going to be talking about, should we be using a copier in 2021 anymore? But more so just kind of talking about, you know, just the dudes, the teacher dudes kind of stuff, like what's going on with life, and just kind of deep dive and dissecting some of that stuff.
Now, Tyler, one of the easiest things you could do to help you along with that journey that you want to start with the liquid is go to the local homebrew shops, and they're very well versed in the laws on that kind of thing, because obviously they're not able to sell that equipment if it's not legal. Right. So I know you're talking mostly beer when you're talking about the homebrew shops, but a lot of the homebrew shops here in Nevada also sell the equipment for distilling as well. So that'd be a great place to start. And then you can start getting into a circle of people that are doing the same thing, interested in that. And then you start getting into those clubs. And while I'm not a brewer myself, eventually I would love to start doing it. I know quite a few people that do, and I've kind of hooked into that circle a little bit. And that's part of the reason why I become so knowledgeable in it, is hooking up with those people. But yeah, I would highly suggest finding that local homebrew store near you and starting there, and they can really start helping you out with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I'll have to see what's around here.
And you know, I had a friend who started homebrewing, and he actually made some really good batches, but he had a home accident. Right. Like his brewer like blew up. They got under too much pressure, and he got like hospital scalded. Right. So that's a no-go for me, but I'll definitely partake in anything that you guys create. So just keep that in mind. And we'll move forward from there. So we have a lot of great things that we want to continue doing and start doing. What about stopping? What has, in your mind, kind of dragged you down in 2020, and that you want to stop doing? And I will tell you, I want to stop feeling, I don't want to say worthless, but I want to stop feeling that what I am doing doesn't matter. And it's because we don't have that personal connection, that physical connection, I think, in my mind, with people or students, that you can, like, you know, give that handshake, have a beer together, just go out and talk. I feel that virtually every day, literally virtually, you know, every day, I feel like I'm not filling my bucket. And because I don't fill the bucket that I'm feeling like I'm making a difference, it drags me down. And so I want to stop feeling that way. I want to remind myself that no matter where you are or who you are, as long as you have, you know, goodness in your heart, as long as you have the best intentions for teachers and students, and you're motivated to make a difference, that every day you have the opportunity to be a change maker. And I have to remind myself that, because I'm a very personable person. Right. And miss and having spring Q not happen, and ISTE not happen, and fall Q not happen, I think those events always helped recharge my batteries. And it feels like I never got that recharge. And so I feel like I'm running on empty. And I want to make sure that my mind is more focused on that. Those are just fleeting feelings. So I want to stop feeling that way. And every morning I get to talk to you guys and chat about this stuff. And it really helps to get those feelings out and not bottle them up. And so I really appreciate being able to chat with you guys each morning because of that. But I definitely want to make sure that I stop having my mind wander in that direction and think in more positive directions and the things that I am doing, not the things that I'm lacking. So I definitely want to stop that.
Yeah, definitely something that a lot of people are experiencing, I'm sure. So you're definitely not alone. So that's definitely a good goal to have for the upcoming year. So now for me, it's going to sound like a cop-out, like I'm just dipping out the side door without saying goodbye to anybody. But I honestly don't feel that there's anything at this point right now that's dragging me down that I have control over. So things I don't control, I can't control the format that I'm teaching in. So I'm going back into virtual again. I've been teaching virtually since back in March, and that's not changing for the time being right now. I can't control that. I can't control the partisan bickering back and forth on social media over the election or policy or the size of stimulus checks or anything like that. I can't control those things. But the things that I can control, I feel that I'm in a really good place right now. I have been getting out now and working out every day. I'm getting fresh air every day. I'm not doing things just inside all the time. I've really cut back on my time on social media and other websites where I'm not, quote unquote, wasting time with those things. I'm not watching nearly as much TV as I once did anymore at this point, because like you, Joe, I've been trying to do better for myself with my sleep. And one thing that I have done that has helped me out tremendously with that is my dad turned me on to this. We both are real bad snorers, and my wife has commented many times about how I am just terrible with it, whatever. And he found this device called a Snore RX. It's a mouthpiece, kind of like a retainer. You mold it kind of like the mouthpieces football, and you wear that while you sleep. And my wife says that I do not snore anymore. And not only am I not snoring, but I am sleeping better. I am waking up in the morning, and I still drink my coffee because I love my coffee, but I don't need the coffee now in the morning because I've slept well and I'm refreshed when I wake up instead of just that groggy that I experienced so much before. So, but you know, like I said, outside of those things, I'm in a pretty good place right now. And I don't feel like that there's anything necessary that I have to stop at this point in my life, in my career, and with my family and everything. So just keep doing what I'm doing at this point and then make adjustments as I go.
And I love that you mentioned coffee, because one of the presents my wife bought me was an espresso coffee maker, or, you know, it's like an espresso machine. Like it's an express. You've seen one of those, Tyler? It's very interesting. It's basically a poor man's espresso bar, but a notch above the Keurigs. And the espresso that comes out of this machine it's awesome. It's so good. And it came with a milk frother. So I want to get a little bit more well-versed in the different kind of espressos that can be made with it, because right now I'm drinking them just straight, and I am wired. I'm wired every morning, but they taste so delicious. So I do highly recommend if you have a few extra dollars lying around and you love your coffee, the Nespresso espresso machines are really, really cool. Tyler, what about you? What do you want to kind of stop doing that you were doing in 2020 so that you can enter 2021, you know, a little bit more focused or on better footing?
Well, you know, I'm going to follow Kyle's lead there. And Kyle, you're going to have to send me the info on that Snore RX thing, because you'll be my wife's favorite person if it works. No joke. But no, on a more serious note, one thing that I want to stop doing is I want to stop getting out in my own way. So I need to get out of my own way, I guess I should say. I know I'm saying that right, but whatever. is a lot of times I'm too worried about what is the other person going to think, or what is, you know, everybody at my school going to think if I do this. And, you know, when I know what I want to do is the right ish, I guess, thing to do, at least in my mind. And, you know, I got to take that leap, take that risk, and just get out of my own way. Cause there's a lot of things, like right now, you know, Joe, you and I have talked about this many times about, you know, going to the gym, which, you know, going to the gym isn't really a, you know, a necessity as far as getting a workout in. But I know for me, going physically to the gym, it's kind of gives me that little separation. But you know, with COVID, it's like, well, crap, can I go? Should I not go? And, you know, I've been fighting that battle for, you know, 9 months now. And it's like, I just got to get out of my own way. Either I'm going to catch it and, you know, whatever, or I'm not, you know, but sitting here, not getting stuff done is not productive in its own right. So, I guess I just need to do what's best, need to do what I know I need to do in, you know, that realm and almost every realm, and then get out of my way. And just do what I can to keep pushing forward, but not bringing myself down or bringing others down with me as I do whatever it is that I'm going to do.
And I love that. I think we do get in our own way. We do stop ourselves from doing things because we either talk ourselves out of it or convince ourselves we can't do it. And I think a lot of our listeners may have that same feeling. You know, they don't start something because they don't think they can, or they stop something early because they don't feel like they can keep moving on. And so, you know, being able to have a support group that surrounds you, that you can bounce ideas off of, and not just say, yeah, that's a great idea because you're friends, but they can say, you know what, that's a stupid idea. You should not run with that, right? I think having a support group that is completely honest with you, that you can bounce those ideas off of and really open up is something that'll help with getting in your own way. So like the main themes I hear is we want to continue you know, making ourselves better in mind, body, and spirit. We want to start you know, doing some things that fulfill our can fill our bucket a little bit more that is not necessarily just in the education realm. And then also there are some things we want to start doing that will help further education a little bit more. And then we want to stop getting in our way. We want to stop, you know, convincing ourselves that we can't do it. And we want to stop snoring. So those are the things that I kind of hear what we're looking at. And you know, as we close out this episode, I also want teachers to know that, you know, these last two episodes have been like reflections or, you know, talking about ourselves personally. And yes, this is a Sons of Technology, right? Technology podcast. And I know we haven't talked a lot about technology these last 2 weeks, but we are humans. We are teachers. Sons of Technology is based upon educators who are trying to make a difference by speaking encouraging words, by lifting each other up, and by helping people move forward. And so even though these last two episodes have not been technology focused, I believe they are extremely important conversations to have, because if you are not in the right mindset, doesn't matter what technology you have in front of you, you are not going to enjoy your mission. And our mission is to make sure we have the best learners, the best and most engaged students, and the best experiences that we can for our students, no matter if you're in the class Zoom or in the classroom. And so we want to make sure that you have the right mindset going into 2021. That's why I've opened up a little bit, so that you know that I'm going through the same things that many of you are going through. And even though I have hit milestones and goals in 2020, I constantly move the goalpost, because there's never a period when it comes to teacher, because there is no end to our story. We just continue to write it. And as you know, in any story, there's ups and downs, trials, triumphs, and tribulations. Most of the time, there's a happy ending. And I want to make sure that you know that if it's up to us, you're going to have the happiest of endings as we move forward in 2021. So I just want to say thank you, Tyler, for everything that you've done this year for your family, your community, and for myself. And Kyle, as always, I want to thank you for being that partner that I've always looked forward at having, the brother that I've never had, and just the friend that continues to push me on a daily basis. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And while we kick 2020 out the door, let's dust off some of our old strategies and our innovation for 2021. So listeners, we promise next episode is going to be about some cool strategies and cool things that you can do with your students. Whether you're, continuing to teach from a distance once this break is over, or you're going to be teaching in a hybrid kind of format, or you're back face-to-face. We want to show some cool things that you can do to engage and motivate your students and staff coming in to this new year. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of the EdTech Army. Thank you for all the hard work you have put into 2020. And we are looking for a bright and shiny future as we turn 2021. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for being the most important people in the history of the world. And that is a teacher. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful day and a happy new year. Thanks, everybody.